Today's daf is Sukkah daf Lamed Aleph, and we have two lines from the top of daf Lamed Aleph Amed Aleph Tanu Rabbanan. Today's daf is being learned as a Zechus Refua Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza of Vadya ben Miriam Leia and Moshe Abba ben Devorah. Today's daf is also being learned Le'iloi Nishmas Avram ben Ramoshe Chaim. So yesterday, Be'ezus Hashem, we began the third parak of Masech Sukkah in the conversation of maybe the most famous parak in Shas. Perek Lulav HaGazel. And the first sugya of Perek Lulav HaGazel discussed the very first halacha of the Mishnah, and that is Lulav HaGazel is possible. And what we saw is that there are really two elements to the halacha of a Lulav HaGazel. Number one, it says in the Torah, Ulakachtem Lochem B'yoyim HaRishon. A Lulav, a Hadas, an Arav and an Esrig have to be Lochem, which would seem to imply they have to belong to the one that's now using these Dalad Minim to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. If you steal something, it's not yours. Based on that, that would be an issue. Another thing that needs to be taken into consideration is there's a Halacha Kloli of Mitzvah Haba Bavera, Stir in Tosfos, whether it's a Deiraisa, a Derabanan, Machlokes Amiram, whether you say Mitzvah Haba Bavera by a Mitzvah de Rabbanon or only by mitzvah deiraisa. But those were the two things that need to be taken into consideration. But that was very much yesterday's daf. Today's daf is going to begin with a little bit of a digression, and that is discuss not a lulav hagazel, but rather a sukkah gezula. So just to recap, because we've seen a little bit of sukkah gezula already up until this point in Maseches Sukkah. The Gemara in daf Tes Amud Aleph and the Gemara in daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis said, it says in the Torah, Chaga sukkah is tasa lecha. The word lecha means limute gezula. So that's Pasha. You can't be Yoitza mitzvah sukkah with a sukkah gezula. Just like a lulav hagazel is a problem, so too a sukkah gezula is a problem. The Gemara in Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis also brought a machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. That was the daf where the Gemara brought all the shitas of Rabbi Eliezer Masech the Sukkah. So the Gemara brought a machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim whether a person can be Yoitza the mitzvah sukkah with a sukkah sheula. I didn't steal the sukkah, I borrowed the sukkah. Meaning, there's no mitzvah b'aveira, but at the same time, it's not my sukkah. Rabbi Eliezer holds that it says in the Torah, Chaga sukkah tasa lecha. Lecha means you have to own the sukkah. Even if you didn't steal it, you simply borrowed it. But at the end of the day, if you borrow something from somebody, it's not yours, it belongs to the person that you borrowed it from. Chaga sukkah tasa lecha teaches me you can't be yoitza with a sukkah sheula. The Chachamim argue, the Chachamim say no. There's no such halacha. There's no halacha that says that you can't be yoytze the mitzvah of sukkah with a sukkah sheula. So again, two things. Number one, a sukkah gezula. Everybody agrees. Chag sukkah tasa lechol lechol lemute gezula. It's a gemara in daf tes. It's a gemara in daf chav zayin. What about a sukkah sheula? What about if it's not my sukkah, but at the same time I didn't steal it? Machloik is Rabbi Eliezer in the chacham. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a problem. Lechol, as in lochem, it has to be yours. According to the chachamim, it's not going to be an issue. So on that note, the Gemara begins with a braisa. Tanu Rabban on sukkah gezula, a sukkah gezula, v'hamesakech b'shus harabim, or if somebody builds a sukkah in a reshus harabim, which is similar to a sukkah gezula, because you don't own the reshus harabim, the reshus harabim belongs to everybody. Rabbi Eliezer says, this sukkah is going to be pasul, v'chachamim machshirim, and the chachamim say, this sukkah is going to be kosher. Zok the Gemara. Om Rav Nachman said, machloikis b'shetoykev eschaveri v'hoitziya misukasi. This machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer and the chachamim, whether sukkah gezula is kosher or pasul, is discussing a situation where a person went over to his friend's house, threw his friend out of the sukkah, sat down, he's going to be mekayim his mitzvah, and he's fulfilling his mitzvah of sukkah in somebody else's sukkah against that person's will. Meaning, toikev es chaveroi, he literally picked his friend up, and he threw him out. What's the machlok? It's Rabbi Eliezer. Tamei Rabbi Eliezer l'shitas. Rabbi Eliezer holds you can't be yoitza mitzvah sukkah with your friend's sukkah. Therefore, ikarka nigzelas, if the halacha is that karka is nigzelas, if it's possible to steal karka, there's even a concept of a sukkah gezula where you're still in karka, then sukkah gezula hits, pasha, you wouldn't be yoitza. Vinami karka ain't a nigzelas, and even if you hold that karka is ain't a nigzelas, it's not possible to steal karka, still Rabbi Eliezer is going to tell you you can't be yoitza the mitzvah because sukkah sheula hits. Because at the end of the day, it's a sukkah sheula. And Rabbi Eliezer's shita is, you can't be yoitza with somebody else's sukkah. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that this sukkah gezula, the way Rav Nachman explained it, where you threw someone out of his sukkah, you can't be yoitza with mamonav shach. If that's considered gzela, so it's a sukkah gezula. And if it's not considered gzela, in the best case scenario, it's not yours. So as a result, you can't be yoitza. Right? And what's the worst case scenario? It's a stolen sukkah. What's the best case scenario? It's not stolen, but it's still not yours. Mamanav shachar koin to Rabbi Eliezer, you can't be yaitza. If it's gzula, obviously it's not okay. And even if it's not gzula, it's not okay. V'rabbanan l'tamad, rabbanan l'shitasa. The amri who hold adam yaitzi deichai v'ase b'sukkasa shal chaver. As we mentioned in the brief introduction, chum don hold of a din lochem when it comes to sukkah. V'karka ein en exalas. They hold karkas ein en exalas. You can't steal karka v'sukkah shuli. And as a result, it's a sukkah shula. So said Rav Nachman, the machloik is Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim regarding a sukkah gezula. Rabbi Eliezer says, pasal chachamim say kosh is very simple. Karke in an exiles. Let's keep it simple. Therefore, the Chachamim hold that it's not a sukkah gezula, even though there is something called sukkah gezula, but karke in an exiles. So this is not a sukkah gezula. It's not yours. Chachamim don't hold that it has to be yours. What does Rabbi Eliezer hold? Rabbi Eliezer holds that even if karke is in an exiles, but still it has to be yours, because Rabbi Eliezer holds it's a din lochem when it comes to sukkah, and as a result, you can't be yoitza. But said Rav Nachman, Ava. But what would be if gazal eitzim, somebody would steal wood, v'sikach behem, and then he would build a sukkah with the stolen wood. Divri akol, everybody would agree, ein lo yelad me yeitzim. That you could be yoitza, the mitzvah of sukkah, you have to give the person that you stole from the value of the wood that you stole, but in terms of fulfilling the mitzvah, you'd be able to fulfill the mitzvah. And the reason is because in this case, the wood that you stole, you're not obligated to return, and therefore it's considered yours. Now, why is it that you're not obligated to return the wood? So there's two Bava Kama reasons to explain this. Number one, Shinui Maisa. You can argue that in the event that there was Yiyush, and now you took the wood and you converted it into a sukkah, Yiyush and Shinui Maisa, the halach is, the gazlin is kaina, whatever it is he took. But there's another reason, which is going to be the subject of the next few lines of the Gemara, and that is, there's a halacha called Takonas Hamarish, also known as Takonas Hashamim. The Chachamim said that if somebody steals something, a beam, for example, or a piece of wood, and he builds it, he incorporates it into a house. The halacha is, he doesn't have to return the piece of wood. And the reason Chacham said that was because they were afraid that if they would obligate the person to return the piece of wood, then he would actually never return it. And the Takanas HaShoven is that the Chacham said that you don't have to return the actual thing that you stole, but rather you just have to return the value of it. The reason Chachamim said this was because they were afraid that if they would make you return the actual thing, you wouldn't do it, because nobody's going to break his house to go return a piece of wood. So therefore, mipnei takanas hashav, you don't have to return it. The point that Rav Nachman's making is that if somebody would steal wood and he would make a sukkah out of it, you certainly would not have to return the piece of wood. As a result, the sukkah is for sure yours. If the sukkah is for sure yours, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would be yoitza. So the Gemara says, "Me, my, how did Rav Nachman know all this? Meaning, how did Rav Nachman know that the machloikas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim of sukkah gezula is where you were toikef as chaveroi v'hitziyoi meisukasai, as opposed to a case where you stole the wood and you built it into a sukkah? Now, the truth is, Rav Nachman explained it, but the Gemara says that Rav Nachman had a raya from the lashon of the brayse itself. Because the brayse gave two cases, two examples of where Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim argued. The first case was sukkah gezula. Second case was hamesachich b'rishus haram. Someone builds a sukkah in a rishus haram. So Rav Nachman felt the two cases are probably similar to each other, meaning my rishus haram karka lavdi dehu. Just like if somebody would build a sukkah in a rishus haram, it's not just the wood that's not yours. The wood might be yours, in fact. But it's the karka that's not yours. So kanami lav karka didehu. It's mashma that the sukkah that we were dealing with was a sukkah that doesn't belong to you. Zok to Gemara on that note. Hahi safta dasoy the kamei de Rav Nachman. There was an older woman that came to Rav Nachman. Amar lei reish kalusa. Vekulu rabbana devei reish kalusa. Besukka gezula havayasvi. So this woman came and she told Rav Nachman, I want you to know the reish kalusa. And all the rabbis in the Reish Galusa, they're sitting in a stolen sukkah. And the reason is because she claimed that the avadim of the Reish Galusa stole wood from her. They built a sukkah with it. And as a result, that they can't be yoitz in the mitzvah of sukkah. They're sitting in a sukkah gzula. So the Gemara says, Safcha, she was screaming, V'leashchach bar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman wasn't paying attention to her. Amr Aleh. So she told Rav Nachman, Itza, da havalei lavu atlasmei v'tamni sri avdi. A woman whose grandfather, she was referring to Avram Avinu, had 318 slaves. Avram Avinu had 318 avadim, is screaming and you're not paying attention. You should pay attention to me. I'm telling you, the rabbis are not fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah. They're sitting in a stolen sukkah. Amalu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, meaning Amar Lahu, he didn't tell her. He told them, who's a lashon rabbin, pa'isa hida. She's just someone that likes to make noise. Ve'ein lo ela d'mei etzim avad. All she has is d'mei etzim, and as a result, you don't have to pay attention to her. In other words, Rav Nachman wasn't saying that she wasn't telling the truth. Maybe she was telling the truth. But Rav Nachman said at the end of the day, this idea that the Rabbanon are not yoitza the mitzvah of sukkah is not emes. Because at the end of the day, the Rabbanon are sitting in a sukkah that they're allowed to sit in. Isn't it a sukkah gzula? So that's the segue. That's what we just said. It's not a sukkah gezula. Because the only time something is considered a sukkah gezula is if you would steal the actual sukkah. But over here where you stole the wood and you just built it into a sukkah, being that there's a takanas hashav and that you don't have to return the wood, so it's for that reason it's not going to be an issue. More on this note. Amar Avinu Ravina said, Hai keshura demitalalta. If somebody takes a beam of a sukkah, the gezula, which was stolen, Avdilei Rabbanan takanta mishum takanas marish. The Rabbanan made a takanas marish. You don't have to return it. So if somebody would steal a beam, build it into a sukkah, you wouldn't have to return the beam. Feit gemara pshita. That's obvious. What's the chiddush? So the gemara says the chiddush is maishno me eitzim. Why is this different than if somebody stole wood? Maldatim, I would have thought eitzim shchichi, because I would have thought that maybe eitzim is shchiach. Meaning, maybe when did the Chachamim make a takanas hashavim if somebody stole wood? Because wood is shchiach, so it's easy to return the wood. But this is loy shchiach, maybe not. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush, that even though it's not shchiach, still you have the takanas hashavim. Meaning, you would have thought the only time there's the takanas hashavim where you don't have to return the thing you stole is if maybe where you didn't, where it's something that's shchiach. So you can get it anyways, meaning I'll give you the money, you'll go buy wood. But a beam, which is a little bit less shchiach, so maybe not, that's the chiddush. Says the Gemara, just one caveat, hani mili begav shiva. The only time this is true is if it's within 7 days. Aval abasa shiva, but if it's after yontif, hada be'in, and then you have to return it. Meaning the only time there's a takanas hashavim, if somebody steals wood or a beam, and he builds it into a sukkah, that's only during sukkahs itself. During sukkahs, you don't have to return it. However, once sukkahs is over, then you would have to return it. Now you don't need the sukkah anymore. So there's no takanas hashavim. It's not a big deal to take down your sukkah after sukkahs. During sukkahs, maybe you're not going to do it. There's a takanas hashavim, but after sukkahs, you don't have it anymore. The ichibur betina, if you cemented the sukkah, afila acha shiva nami, even after after the days of sukkahs, yovle d'mei, all you would have to do is return the money. So just to recap, we began with a braisa, machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim regarding a sukkah gezula. Rabbi Eliezer says it's possible, and the Chachamim say it's kosher. And what emerged from Rav Nachman was that the machloikis is only where you physically threw someone out of the sukkah. So you took over, you hijacked somebody's sukkah. That's where the machloikis, Rav Lez and the Chachamim is. What's the machloikis? Karka in an exalus. Machloikis is, can you be yoitza with a sukkah sha'ula? According to Rav Lez, you can't. That's why you can't be yoitza. According to Chachamim, you can. And that's why you can be yoitza. However, Rav Nachman said, in the event that somebody would steal wood or a beam and you would build it into the sukkah, everybody would agree you're yaitza, because you don't have to return it, because of takanas hashavim, and therefore, for sure you would be yaitza. So Rashi asks a very obvious question, and that is, if the Chachamim hold that if you take somebody else's sukkah, it's not a sukkah gzula. If the Chachamim hold that if you steal a beam or a piece of wood and you build a sukkah from it, it's not a sukkah gzula, so when is a sukkah gzula? This is a halach of sukkah gzula. So where's the negei sukkah gzula? If you stole the actual sukkah, karkein and exelis. If you stole a beam and you built it into a sukkah, takonas hashavin. So what is the halacha of sukkah gzula? So Rashi says, very poshut, sukkah gzula would be if somebody built a sukkah on type of a ship, or if somebody built a sukkah on top of a wagon. It was a Mishnah earlier. It's a kosher sukkah. That sukkah is metaltalin. That sukkah is not karka. So if somebody would steal that sukkah, not steal a beam, put it in a sukkah, not steal a sukkah that's on the ground, throw the owner of the sukkah out, but you steal a sukkah that's portable, that's metaltalin. Oh, that sukkah is metaltalin. A sukkah like that, you don't have takanas hamarish. A sukkah like that, you don't have the problem of karkein and exiles. That's where it would be negated halach of sukkah gzula. So as it relates to sukkah gzula, again, we started talking about a lulav agazel, but we've digressed a little to a sukkah gzula. So really, there's three categories in the halach of sukkah gzula. There's a situation of sukkah gzula where somebody takes somebody's sukkah. You throw someone out of his house, you take over his sukkah. There's a sukkah gezula where you steal a piece of wood and you build the sukkah. Then there's a sukkah gezula where someone has a portable sukkah, bereisha agola, top of a wagon, top of a ship, and you go ahead and you take that sukkah. Three different cases, three different halachas. In the case that somebody, let's go backwards, steals a sukkah that's bereisha agola, bereisha sfina, everybody's going to agree that's a sukkah gezula. It's metaltalin, it's nigzeles, chagas sukkahs tasa l'chalamut gzula. There's going to be no question in the world that's a sukkah gzula. If you steal a beam and you build a sukkah with it, everyone agrees you can be yoitza with that sukkah. That's not a sukkah gzula, because the cheftz of the sukkah doesn't have any mitzvah of a heshev esagzela ashagazal. All you have to do is return money. Everybody would agree you could be yoitza with that sukkah. In the event that you take over somebody's physical sukkah and you didn't steal the wood. You didn't steal the physical sukkah because it's attached to the ground, but you threw the owner out and you took it. That's machloikis Rav Lezer and the Chachamim. What's the machloikis? Karka in an exile. So really, it's not a sukkah gzula. The machloikis is, could you be yoitza with a sukkah that's not yours? Rav Lezer sheet is, you can't be yoitza with a sukkah shu'ula. Therefore, you can't be yoitza with this either. According to Chachamim, there's no halacha of sukkah shu'ula. So based on that, you would be able to be yoitza. Now, the one caveat to this whole sukkah is, what happened to mitzvah baba aveira? So that's already a whole different discussion. But the point is, we're not dealing with the mitzvah baba aveira component of the sukkah. We're dealing with the chaga sukkah tasa l'chol mute gezula component, which we saw very briefly on Daf Tes. We saw very briefly on Dachav Zayin. We spoke already the Mechaz Chinuch's Kasha and all the raid from Rabbi Yeruchim, etc., etc. But at the end of the day, Pasha, what's the case? A sukkah gezula. There's different ifanim of how it could be. Three categories of how it can come out. In one case, everyone agrees it's a problem. In another case, everyone agrees it's not a problem. And in the third case, it would be a machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Either way, we're now going to return to our regular program, which is the Dalet Minim, and discuss the second halacha of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, Lulav HaGazel, Vehayavish is possible. So Lulav HaGazel is possible, Lachem, Mitzvah Babaveira. What about a Yavish? A Lulav HaYavish is also possible. Says the Gemara. First, the Braisa, Tana. Yavish pasul and Rabbi Yehuda machsha. So a lulav that's yavish is pasul. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lulav ha-yavish is kasha. So the two big bali plukta with the chachamim and masach the sukkah were very clearly Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehuda. There's a lot of Rabbi Eliezer and masach the sukkah, especially this last week. And there's also a lot of Rabbi Yehuda, the first Mishnah, Yehuda holds a sukkah shigavoy l'mayla miyaser mamas k'cheru. We've had a lot of Rabbi Yehuda throughout the perek, and this is today's daf, from here till the end, is going to be very much Rabbi Yehuda. And that is, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lulav that's yavesh is kasha. Amar Rava Rava said, machloik is belulav. Machloik is only regarding a lulav. The Rabbanu Savi Rabbanu hold, makshin belulav le'esrik, that a lulav is compared to an esrik. Ma esrik boi hadar, just like an esrik has to be hadar. Now how do you know an esrik has to be hadar? It says in the Torah, l'kachtam lechem. Lulav also has to be hadar. Meaning, even though pre-eitz hadar is referring to the esrik, but Rabbi Yehuda holds that the chamim hold that a lulav also has to be hadar. Rabbi Yehuda suffered. Rabbi Yehuda holds like makshin a lulav esrik. We don't make a hekish between the lulav and the esrik. And even though it's true the esrik has to be hadar, but the lulav doesn't have to be hadar. Avol be'esrik, as it relates to the esrik, divrei hakol hadar binan. Everyone's going to hold that it has to be a hadar. So we just said two things. Number one, the Gemara gave the reason why a lulav that's yavish is possible. Why is a lulav that's yavish possible? Because of hadar. It's not beautiful. It's not shame. A lulav has to be nice. A lulav has to be nice. We say a lulav has to be nice. Ulekachtam lechem v'yamishim pre-eitz hadar, which is the esrik. Kapas tamarim is the lulav. It doesn't say kapas tamarim hadar. It says pre-eitz hadar. It doesn't say kapas tamarim hadar. Teretz is, Rabbanan hold, there's a hekish between lulav and esrik. Oh, there's a hekish, lulav and esrik. Not everyone's meshubat to that hekish. Rabbi Huda, who argues with the chacham, it must be he argues with the hekish. So he agrees there's a musik of hadar and da'alaminim. He just holds it's true for esrik. Chamabot is a hekish. It's not just true for the esrik. It's true for the lulav as well. Zakhti Gemara, uba lulav, lay bayi Rabbi Huda hadar. Is it true that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of the din hadar when it comes to a lulav? A time we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yagdeno mil malo. So this is referring back to our Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, Nifridu alav. In the event that the alim of the lulav on tap got detached, so the halachi is, meaning it's spread out a little bit, the Chachamim said, it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda said, it's only kosher, Yagdeno l'malo. You have to tie it on top, and only then is it going to be okay. So Gemara says, my time, but what's the reason Rabbi Yehuda wants you to tie it on top? L'amishun b'ay hadar. Presumably, because he holds as a din of hadar. But Gemara says, like, Tani time, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabshim Rab Tarfin. Yehuda said, the name Rab Tarfin, Kapis Tamarim. The lulav is referred to in the Torah as Kapis Tamarim, and we learn from there, Kafos. Kapis Milosh and Kafos, it has to be tied. V'mayu parut, and therefore he holds, if it's it's untied a little bit, yichtefeno, meaning the word kapos is from the shayrish of kafos, which means kosher, and that's where you learn that it has to be tied. V'loy bayi hadar, the Gemara says, is that true that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lulav doesn't have to be hadar? But time we learned in the Mishnah, in oyden es halulav, ela b'minay. The only way that you're allowed to tie the three minim together, so this is referring to the eged that was put around the three minim, around the lulav, the hadas, and the arava, it has to be b'minay, the same min, the same material as the lulav itself. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, my time, why does he hold it has to be the same material? Lamishun the bayi hadar, presumably because he holds that it has to be hadar. The Gemara says, lai, da amir Rava. Rava said, afilu b'siv, afilu b'ikr d'digla. Rava said that as long as it's the same min as the lulav, you can even use the bast of the palm tree, you can even use the trunk of the tree. Those parts of the tree are not hadar, and still it's okay. So the reason Rabbi Yehuda says that has nothing to do with Hadar. Ella, my time the Rabbi Yehuda. So what is the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? Hasam the kasava lulav tzarech eged. It's because he holds lulav tzarech eged. This that the eged is something you have to do. It's not optional. You need to do it. And therefore he holds that if you're going to bring a different min, havalei chamisha minim, it's going to end up being a fifth min. And you're going to be over Baal Taisav. So the reason Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Egen has to be the same min as the lulav is because he doesn't want another min. He doesn't want you to take some other plant because then it's going to be a pre-Eitz Hadar, Kapas Tmarim, Anafetz Avos, Arvei Nachal, and that other min. And that's Baal Taisav. You're not allowed to be Moisef on a mitzvah. We know that. It's a Leisa say in the Torah. So it's for that reason Rabbi Yehuda holds it's going to be a problem. So the bottom line is we had a Braisa. The Braisa said, Tana, Yavich Pasel, Rabbi Yehuda Machsha. Lulav Yavich is Pasel. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Said Rava, this that Rabbi Yehuda says a lulav ayavish is kosher, it's only lulav as opposed to esrik. Why? Because why did the Chachamim hold that a lulav ayavish is possible? Because it says in the Torah, priyetz hadar. And they're makish, esrik, to lulav. Because really it says priyetz hadar by esrik. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that akish. He holds no such thing. Esrik ayavish is a problem. A lulav ayavish is not going to be a problem. Oh, but the esrik alein, even Rabbi Yehuda holds that an esrik ayavish is going to be a problem. So if the Gemara is that true, but esrik mi by Rabbi Yehuda hadas, Rabbi Yehuda really hold that an esrik has to be held of a tiny balloon to the brisa arbas minim shabalulav as it relates to the four minim of the lulav. Just like you're not allowed to have less than four, so you're not allowed to have more than four. Meaning you can't have less than four. Baltigra, like say in the Torah, you're not allowed to take away from a mitzvah. You can't have more than four. But I'll tell you, you're not allowed to add to a mitzvah. Loi matza esrig. If, however, you couldn't find an esrig, loi yavi, you shouldn't bring. Loi parish, v'loi rima, v'loi avarach. You shouldn't bring any other fruit. Meaning, the Bryce is addressing a havamina that maybe you should bring a different fruit instead of an esrig. Look at chilo, it should be an esrig. But if you have it something else, so the Bryce said no. Kamushin. Let's say the esrig is a little bit dry, not 100% dry, but a little dry. Ksherim, it's kosher. Yevashim, if it's completely dry. Psulin, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af Yaveshin Ksherim. Even if it's Yavesh, it's Kashav. Rabbi Yehuda said, Maisa, there was a story. This is another Rabbi Yehuda that brings a raya from a Maisa. Bibnei Krak and the people of a certain city, show you my Rishon as Lulvein Lubnei Vneim. This was a city where it was very hard for them to find a Lulav. Back in the day, it wasn't so easy to get a Lulav. And as a result, they would have Lulav and they would give it over to Yerusha to their Einakloch. So Rabbi Yehuda said, now if these Lulavim are going over to Yerusha, if you Yarshin a Lulav from Yaelta Zayda, it's going to be a Lulav Ayavish. So you see, it's good. Rabbi Yehuda said, isn't that a raya? You could be yotze with a lulav ayavish. They told Rabbi Yehuda, Bisham Rai bringing a raya from there. Ain't shasat chak raya. That was done. A shasat chak. They had no choice. But really, it's not okay. But the Gemara says, ketani mi. So what do you see in this braisa? Rabbi Yehuda says, af yavesh and ksherin. That you could be yotze with a yavesh. My lava asterisk. Isn't it going back on an asterisk? Now, the truth is, it's not clear that it was referring back to the asterisk. If you go back to the Bryce again, on the bottom of Laman Aleph, Laman Aleph, the Bryce said aloch about a lulav and aloch about an asterisk. Arbas minim shabal lulav, as it relates to the lulav. Just like you can't have less, you can't have more. Then it said something about an asterisk. If you can't find an asterisk, then you shouldn't use a different type of fruit. Then it started discussing the aloch of Yavish. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af Yavish and Ksherim. So the Gemara thinks this Bryce mentioned halachas about asterisk. And then it says, without explaining, a yavish is possible. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. So it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda that says it's kosher holds it's kosher even if it's yavish. Mara says, lo yalulav. I hear it's true. It certainly seems that way. It's a very valid havamina, but it's not muchach that way. And maybe when Rabbi Yehuda says kosher in the Brayse, he was referring to lulav. That's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasi that holds a lulav yavish is kosher. But as it relates to an esrig, esrig is really going to be possible. So we brought the Brayse, and the Gemara is going to digress on the Brayse a little bit. So there were two interesting things that the Brayse mentioned that the Gemara feels that it's kedai to interrupt the program to address for a moment. Number one, Amamar, k'shem shem poichse mehem kach ein moisifin aleh. Just like you can't have less than four minim to the lulav, you can't have more than four. Pshita, it's so obvious. Of course, Baal Taisav, what's the hava mina? Every single mitzvah in the Torah has Baal Taisav. So why would you think this is different? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Ma'udatim, I would have thought, Ha'ilvam, Rabbi Yehuda lulav tzarech eged, because this is Rabbi Yehuda talking. And Rabbi Yehuda holds lulav tzarech eged, you have to tie the three minim together. Vi ma'is min achrino. So if you're going to bring another min, your fifth min, ha'iluchu dekoi v'ha'iluchu dekoi. In the event that you don't tie it together with those three minim, maybe it won't be Baal Taisav. Meaning, when you have your lulav, your hadas, and your rova, you tie them together. The Brice is addressing a havamina that if you have another min, it's not going to be okay. That other min that you might have, maybe you're not going to tie it together. If you don't tie it together, maybe it's not Baal Taisav because it's separate, it's distinct from everything else. So maybe there would have been a havamina that being you're not tying it together with the other three minim, it shouldn't be Baal Taisav. Kamashwan, that's the chiddush, it's still a problem. So that was the first part of the Brisa, agav, that the Gemara felt it needed to address. Second one is amamar, loy matza esrig, lo yavi, lo rimon, don't bring a pomegranate, lo parish, some other fruit, flav davar achar, and another fruit. The point is that the Brice is saying that if you can't find an esrog, maybe bring a pomegranate, maybe bring a cantaloupe. That's the chiddish. No, that's so obvious. What would be the chiddish that you can't be yotze with another type of fruit? So the Gemara says, Mal d'tema, I would have thought, laisi, we're talking about a person who doesn't have an esrog. So you're not being mekayim the mitzvah anyways. So you would have thought that there should be a zecher of the concept of what an esrog is. So even though this here you don't have a kosher esrog, maybe you should bring it. That's the chiddush. Because sometimes if you do the wrong thing, you may continue to do the wrong thing, and that's how bad customs can start. So Enochinami, there's a good cheshbon, maybe 1 year, why you should want to bring a different fruit other than an esrog. But it may cause you lamisrach. It may cause you to constantly do that, and as a result, it's something that's discouraged. So we're going to return now to what we've been discussing, and that is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Again, we had a braisa that said, Yovesh Pasol, Rabbi Yehuda Machsher, Rabbi Yehuda says that a Yovesh is kasher. Rava clarified, the Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is regarding a luluf. There, Rabbi Yehuda holds discussion about an esrog is possible. And again, what's the hesber? It says in the Torah, "Lekachtam lechem b'yom rishon priyetz hader." That means the esrog has to be hader. If it's yavesh, it's not hader. Therefore, yavesh is possible. What's the machlokes? Because when the Torah says yavesh, or the Torah says priyetz hader, it's talking about an esrog. Who said anything about a lulav? So that's the machlokes. The Chachamim hold if it's true for a esrog, it's true for a lulav. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds no, it could be true for an esrog, but who said it's true for lulav? But as it relates to esrog, everybody agrees, said Rava, that an esrog that's yavesh is going to be pasul. Sakta Gemara Tashma. I don't know if that's true. We have a braisa. Esrog hayoshan, an old, dried out esrog. Pasul. Rabbi Yehuda Machsher, Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Now this is esrog. You can't say it's talking about a lulav, it's talking about an esrog. So you see clearly Rabbi Yehuda's shita of yavesh kosher is not only true for lulav, because he doesn't hold it a hekish. It's even true for esrog. Hagam, it says in the Torah, priyetz hader. Zok de Gemara, tiufta de Rava, tiufta. You're right, checkmate. There's a raya not like Rava. Rava's upgefrekt, and it's pretty clear that Rabbi Yehuda holds a lulav ayavish as kosher, and an esrog ayavish as kosher. And it's pretty clear that when Rabbi Yehuda said in the brayse of ayavish kosher, he meant not only lulav, he even meant esrog. Faith de Gemara, fly by Yehuda, is that true? Is it true that Rabbi Yehuda holds that esrog that's yavish is kosher? There's no halacha of hadar, but non-tamar to the Mishnah. Hayarik kikarit. If somebody has an esrog that's very, very green, Rameyo Omer Rameyer says machsher, it's kosher. If Rabbi Yehuda plays, Rabbi Yehuda says it's going to be pasul. Lamishu the boy hadar. Why would Rabbi Yehuda have a problem with this colored esrog? Probably because it's not hadar. See, Rabbi Yehuda holds that an esrog has to be hadar. Whereas loy, Mishu the loy gama peira. It's because it must be an unripened esrog. If it's that color, means it's unripened. Rabbi Yehuda holds it has to be ripe. Doesn't have to be hadar, but it has to be a gemar pri. It has to be a fully ripened pri. Tashma another right. Shear esrog katan. What's the shear of a small esrog? Meir says ke'egos, size of a walnut. Rabbi Yehuda mikabeya reads that it has to be bigger. If it's the size of an egg, it's not kosher. Rabbi Yehuda has a bigger shear, and Rabbi Yehuda holds it has to be the size of a beya. Zok de Gemara lab mishun the bay hader. Isn't that because he holds that has to be hader? I mean, why Rabbi Yehuda hold that has to be a bigger shear? Probably because of hader. You see, Rabbi Yehuda holds it didn't hader by esrog. Loi mishun the legama pera, because if it's not the size of a beya, it means it didn't fully grow yet, and therefore it's going to be possible. But again, Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no din hader by lulav. There's also no din hader by esrog. Tashma another. Ubegadol, what's the largest that an esrog could be? So the previous braisa was discussing sheer esrog katan. Now we're discussing, what about the sheer esrog gadol? So again, this is a Mishnah later. Big enough that you can hold two of them in one hand, or really small enough that you can hold two of them in one hand. So if you can hold two in one hand, then it's not too big. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, he says it can be much bigger. Afilu echem b'shnei yadav. As long as you can carry one and two hands, meaning if I can carry this esrog in both of my hands, that's going to be okay. So koin to Rabbi Yosef, it could be very, very big. Koin to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't have to be that big. My timer, what's the reason? Koin to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not allowed to be so big. Meaning koin to Rabbi Yosef, it could be super big. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it can't be so big. What's the reason? Probably because he also is a din of hader. And if it's going to be too big, it won't be hader. See, Rabbi Yehuda does hold of hader by esrog. Kivan Damer Rabbah, the reason is something completely different. Actually, a very practical reason. Being that Rabbah said lulav b'yamin v'esrog b'smol, person is supposed to hold his lulav in his right hand and esrog in his left hand. Now, zimn de mechalfile, sometimes you make a mistake, and sometimes you're going to end up holding your esrog in your right and your lulav in your left. So what do you do if it's in the wrong hand? You're going to try to switch it around. You know what's going to happen if you switch it around? If your esrog is too big, you may drop the esrog. You're going to break the pitim, right? You're going to end up breaking the esrog. So if you're going to break the esrog, it's going to end up with a hole in it. Something's going to happen. It's going to be a problem. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't want your esrog to be so big. But as it relates to an esrog being hadar, there's no halacha that an esrig has to be hader? Freit the Gemara. How could that be? There's no halacha that an esrig has to be hader. What's the obvious question? Ve'elul Rabbi Yehuda k'siv hader. Says hader. It's not debatable. Lulav we can clear. Yeah, hekish, no hekish. But esrig, it's a pasuk in the Torah. It says hader. So the Gemara, who you have to say Rabbi Yehuda held the word hader that it says by esrig means something else. Hador bi'ilanoi mishana l'shana. The word hader doesn't mean nice. It's not miloshin hidor, but it's miloshin hadar. And that's what the word hadar means. And it means that it has to be a fruit that lives on the tree, mishana l'shana. And this is one of the clues we have that the pre-eitz hadar, Torah is referring to as an esrig. Because really, based on the pasuk and the pasuk, where it says pre-eitz hadar, I don't know, just bring a nice fruit. Who's anything about hasrig? And the Gemara is going to talk about it later in the parak. And one of the sources the Gemara is going to bring is because it says hadar. And the word hadar is miloshin hadar bi'ilana mishana l'shana. Not many fruits qualify as that. The esrig is a fruit that lives mishana l'shana, and meaning it can stay on the tree for many years. And Rabbi Yehuda said that's all the word hadar means. It's not pre-eitz hadar, it's pre-eitz hadar. So it's amazing in Messiah how there could have been two ways to interpret such a basic fundamental word in the Torah. Pre-eitz hadar, that's how the Chacham understood. Pre-eitz hadar, that's the way Rabbi Yehuda understood. But the bottom line is, Lulav HaGazel Pasel, that was yesterday's daf. Lulav HaYavesh Pasel, that's today's daf. Chamim hold a Lulav HaYavesh is Pasel. Rabbi Yehuda says a Lulav HaYavesh is Kasher. After further review, what comes out of Maskanas HaGemara, Rava said not that way, but Tufta the Rava Tufta. What comes out of Maskanas HaGemara is Rabbi Yehuda argues, he holds a Lulav HaYavesh is Kasher, because why is a Lulav HaYavesh Pasel according to the Chachamim? Because it says in the Torah pre-Eitz Hadar. So if it says in the Torah pre-Eitz Hadar, it has to be Hadar. Now it says pre-Eitz Hadar by an esrig. Not by a lulav, but there's a heck between the esrig and the lulav. So why would Rabbi Yehuda argue? Because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have such a word. He doesn't have pre-eitz hadar. Oh, you mean hadar? Oh, pre-eitz hadar. Yeah, that Rabbi Yehuda has. But he doesn't have pre-eitz hadar. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no halach of hadar. And by the way, not by lulav and not by esrig and not by hadas and not by arav. There's no word hadar. So the Chacham teach the word hadar, even though it said it by esrig, they made a heckish to the other meaning. Rabbi Yehuda teach the word hadar. So there is no halacha of having this beautiful fruit. It has to be a fruit that lives multiple years sometimes on a tree. That's all it means. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda argues with halacha pre-eitz hadar. Rashi in the Mishnah, Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis, Dibra Maskel Yavish says, why is a lulav hayavish pasul? The be'inon mitzvah mehuderes. Because the mitzvah has to be beautiful. Dechsev, because it says in the Torah, ve'anveyo. It says, Zek Keli Vanveo. You have to make a mitzvah beautiful. Taisvis in the beginning of the parak, the first of many Taisvis in the beginning of parak, Lulav HaGazel. So the first Taisvis asked, I don't understand Rashi. Rashi says the reason a Lulav has to be not Yavish is because of Zek Keli Vanveo. That's not the reason. It's because it says in the Torah, pre-eitz hadar, by Asrig. And there's a hekish between Asrig and Lulav. It has nothing to do with Zek Keli Vanveo. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda, who argues with the Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, who darshins the word hadar as if it said hadar, holds a Lulav HaYavish is kosher. Who holds that an Asrig HaYavish is kosher? V'oid, where do you find Zek Keli Vanveo would make something possible? Hidr mitzvah, we're all familiar with the concept. You want to make your sukkah nice. But where do you find anywhere Zek Keli Vanveo Liikuva? So Rashi tells Sazok Taisvis, I don't understand Rashi. Rashi teaches a lulav hayavish is pasul because of Zek Keli Vanveo. Number one, the Gemara doesn't say that. Number two, if that's the case, then why would Rabbi Yehuda have a problem with it? And number three, where do you find that Zek Keli Vanveo creates pasul? Zek Keli Vanveo is a nice thing. It's something that you're supposed to do l'katchilo. But that Zek Keli Vanveo should be Liikuva, that's not something you find. So this is some raid that we're currently leaving on the table that Be'ezus Hashem we're going to have to get back to at some point. Just learn one last Gemara. That is, the Mishnah said, Lulav shel Asheira v'shel ira nidachas pasul. A lulav that's an Asheira. What's an Asheira? A tree that was worshipped, that was used as Avodah Zarah. Or a tree that comes from a city where the majority of the inhabitants of the tree were Avodah Zarah is going to be pasul. So the Gemara says, v'shel Asheira pasul. Is that even true? A lulav shel Asheira is pasul. Amar Rava. Rava said, lulav shel Avodah Zarah. If someone has a lulav shel Avodah Zarah, said this lulav shel Avodah Zarah, Rashi says, is a lulav that was used in the service of Avodah Zarah. Either it was used to sweep the ground in the presence of the Avodah Zarah. The point is, it was used on some way to worship Avodah Zarah. So it wasn't the actual Avodah Zarah, but it was used for Avodah Zarah. Lo yitel, you shouldn't use it l'katchila for your lulav. V'im natal, but if you use it kosher, the halacha is that it's kosher. Now, if the lulav shel avodah zara is kosher, then the lulav shel asher should also be kosher. So, afraid the Gemara, why is the lulav shel asher a pasul? Why is it different than the lulav shel avodah zara? Now, like all these Gemaras in the beginning of lulav hagazel, everything is fully loaded. So, for example, how could you be yoitz? What's even the havam yinish? Could be yoitz with the lulav shel avodah zara. Avodah zara is asa bahana. If it's asa bahana, then you're not allowed to benefit from it. How can I do a mitzvah? What's the teretz? Mitzvah's lav lahan, isn't it? No. So again, that opens up a whole nother wave of raid. But the bottom line is we have a stira. A lulav shel asherah is pasul. Yet a lulav shel avodah zarah is kosher. What's the difference between a lulav shel asherah and a lulav shel avodah zarah? You'll tell me, oh, because this is avodah zarah and this was only used in the service of avodah zarah. That's not a difference. So afraid to Gemara, what's the difference? And for the Gemara, hacha b'asherah de moisha skinon de katute mechte sheyure. The Mishnah is talking about an Asherah Shel Moshe. Now, literally, Asherah Shel Moshe means it's referring to one of the trees that were in Eretz Yisrael at the time that the Yidden conquered Eretz Yisrael in the times of Moshe, which is ironic because Moshe Rabbeinu was not the one that led the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael. It was Yeshua Ben Nun. But that's what it means, Asherah Shel Moshe. What does that have to do with anything? So the Hezber HaDvarim is, and Tosfos explains this, the bottom Tosfos on the Amid, is that there's an afkamina between an avodah zarah that belongs to a yid and avodah zarah that belongs to a guy. Avodah zarah that belongs to a guy, the halach is the guy could be mevatel the avodah zarah. There's such a concept. This is Masechtas Avodah Zarah 101. If you have avodah zarah, you worship the avodah zarah, you could be mevatel. I don't want it to be avodah zarah anymore. It's not avodah zarah. Poof. There's no Isra Anah anymore. It's fine. It doesn't have a din of avodah zarah. A yid that's avodah zarah, there's no bittel. So the Mishnah that says Shel Asher is pasul is talking about where it was an avodah zarah of a yid. The Braisa that said, or Rava's statement, that lulav shel avodah zarah, the evidence kosher, is talking about where is the avodah zarah of a guy. What's the difference? The avodah zarah of a guy is avodah zarah today, but it doesn't have to be avodah zarah. Because you can be mevatel, get the guy to be mevatel, it's done. The lulav of a yid, that avodah zarah is an automatic avodah zarah. What's the difference? The difference is katute mechte shiur. And this is really the punchline of the Gemara. The reason a lulav shel asher is a problem is because it's asa hana. Something that's asa hana has to be destroyed, it has to be burnt. Anything that has a din that it has to be burnt, even before it's burnt, we look at it as if it's already burnt. That's the halacha of ketute mechte shiur. And being that we look at it as if it's already burned, so therefore it's as if it's not here. It's not here. It means it's missing its shear. It's a big Reb Chaim on this. It's missing its shear, and therefore it's possible because lulav has to have a shear. Because of the shear that it has to have, right now it's oimit to be burnt. It's as if it's burnt. Something that's burnt doesn't have a shear. We look at it as a lulav that has no shear. And as a result, it's going to be a problem. Whereas the lulav shel avodah zarah of the guy, even though right now it has to be burnt, but you can circumvent it. Because you could always be mevatel, and then it won't have to be burnt. So as much as the status quo is it's going to be burnt, but something can happen. You can always audible and not have to end up burning it. As a result, it's not ketute mechte shiure. It's not as if it's burnt. We don't see it as a lulav that doesn't have a shear. And that's why it's okay. Deikanami, a riot to this pshat is the ketani dumi dira nidach hashmamino. Because the Mishnah mentioned shal asherah v'shal ira nidachas. Why are we putting them together? So obviously it's me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan shal asherah shal ira nidachas. But more acutely, the reason they're together is because why is the ira nidachas possible? Because everything in the ira nidachas had to be burnt. Being that everything had to be burnt, we look at it as if it's already burnt. So if we look at it as if it's already burnt, so ketute mechte shure, it doesn't have a shear. Something that's burnt doesn't have a shear. So we look at it today as if it doesn't have a shear. As opposed to something that doesn't have a din of ketute mechte shiure, that is not going to be an issue. Mezzer Shem will talk a lot more about this.